You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Viewmaster, only on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Sam. How are you?
I'm really, really good. It's good to be back. I miss you guys, eh?
Hey, missed you too. It's very nice to have you in the studio. It is Friday, in case anyone's like woken up and they're like, wait, Sam's on the radio. Is it Tuesday? What's going on in the world?
No one knows who I am. It's fine.
This is not true. We have swapped Fridays and Tuesdays. It's always going to be doing Tuesdays now. And Sam's joining us on Fridays because it just suits everyone's schedules better.
Yeah, and I know nothing about theatre, so like, don't ask.
Yeah. But you do know about TV.
That's my thing.
What has been happening on TV? What have you been watching and enjoying?
Well, I hit Tess up and I was like, hey, I've got like 4 shows backlogged, so let's get this stuff popping.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm in a little bit early, because I was meant to be in next week. And before we start, the show has a bit of a trigger warning around sexual assault, so if anyone's not keen to hear about that, come back in 10 minutes. Rachel will be playing some dulcet tones for you. But I May Destroy You is a show that's based around sexual assault, so that's what we're talking about today.
So is this Michaela Cole's new show?
Yes, it is.
Gosh, she's cool.
Oh my gosh, she's the best.
She's so cool.
She's a Phoebe Waller-Bridge level of talent.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. God, England turns out some great female writers. Michaela Cole wrote, helped produce and helped direct this show called I May Destroy You, based on her own experience getting sexually assaulted while filming season 2 of her other show, Chewing Gum,
right.
And writing it as well. And the show follows Arabella, who is a writer who gets spiked at a party and has a draft turn in the next day to her publishing company and doesn't really fully realise what's happened to her, goes back to her office, writes this draft, and then doesn't start realising that she's been sexually assaulted until episode 2.
Right.
Which is quite an interesting...
Oh, I just got chills.
Yeah. Oh, this show is full of chills. This show is... I've seen lots of people say it's the best show of 2020.
Mm.
I'm so far... like obsessed with it. I'm gonna watch it again because I've seen some reviews about it saying that it's even better on a second watch because you get to see more of the intricate details that she's put into her writing because she's so talented. And
that's
I'm gonna do it.
That's such an interesting thing, isn't it, when you've watched a series or a movie all the way through and then you find out kind of everything unfolds. If you watch it again, there's so many more things you'll pick up on.
Yeah. It's like, I do think that there are certain TV shows, certain films and certain books that absolutely merit a second watch,
and
even a third watch.
Oh, and it's definitely based on the creator as well. So like Fleabag, second watch all the time. Like every time I'm on a plane and it's on the plane, I'm watching Fleabag again.
Yeah.
This is that kind of show. And the show doesn't just deal with sexual assault, it also deals with what it's like to be a woman in 2020, or 2019, I guess, when the show's taking place, what it's like to be black in London in 2020, and show like a real real experience of like different black people and being young and black and what it means to have like strict parents and all of that kind of stuff, and the cultural side of it, not just being like not having a character who's black that's written like a white person, but actually characters that are black that are written with black experience, which is so, so good to see. What it's like to be black and gay. What it's like to be there's later on in the season you meet a trans person and just what it's like for them, and it's just really, really fun. And that's a really weird word to say for a show about sexual assault, but she writes with such levity and breath, and the character Arabella is so captivating and like funny that there's all this like tragic stuff going on, but it never like dwells in its own tragedy. It really finds comedy and real life stakes, as opposed to being like, this is just a show about sadness and recovery.
Yeah. But that's interesting. So is it a comedy then?
I would say that she writes this drama with comedy within it.
Yeah, dramedy.
Yeah, dramedy.
She is an amazing writer. And if people have watched Chewing Gum, which is the show you were just mentioning before, they might be fully coming into this expecting a straight comedy, because Chewing Gum is pretty crack up. That's its whole like MO, is it's kind of character comedy. It's all these people who live on this estate in London, and her character that she plays in that
is like a horny Christian.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's crack up. And so I think when I heard she was doing this, I was like, the first thing I thought was Phoebe Waller-Bridge as well. And I think it must be a terrible thing when somebody continues to compare two young women who are writing about the experience of being young women, very different experiences of being young women, and you keep comparing them to each other. But it is a little bit inevitable with these two because they are both such bold voices
And rising stars, and I just want to see more and more and more.
Yeah,
like I can't wait. One of the things that I love about this show is that Arabella never plays the perfect victim, and you get to go the show doesn't like follow a linear timeline. You get to go back in the time to see who she was before and like as a kid and as 3 months before the incident. And it also, this is going to sound weird, but it shows three different sexual assaults and three different types of sexual assault and doesn't diminish them based on like the levels of severity. I'm saying that in air quotes, please don't come at me. And it also faces like cancel culture and all that kind of stuff. So it really does these new things with a sexual assault storyline that I've never seen before and really, really appreciated, because Arabella becomes this voice for the voiceless, but also it's that kind of thing where, you know, when someone's like creating a charity to raise awareness or help people with sexual assault, you forget that this person that's super, super strong and standing up is also someone that's struggling and has problems, and they might not be perfect as well. And Arabella makes mistakes for her friends who are dealing with hard stuff, because she's like, I'm the one dealing with hard stuff right now. And then you get to see that whole mindset as well. It's just like this beautifully nuanced approach to it.
I haven't seen this yet, and I'm really excited to see it. My flatmate watched it all in one night and came out like, oh, that was a lot of good TV and I need a break.
Yeah, I watched it over 3 days because it's 10 episodes, so 3 days. And I was just obsessed. I kept wanting to watch it, and I was like, no, I've got to go to bed. I've got to keep my life. And as you were saying, like, she wrote a straight comedy last time, and this is definitely not just a comedy.
Well,
this is
not really. It's a drama with comedic elements.
Yeah. And I was really nervous to go into it because I find this kind of stuff really unsettling to watch. And I was like, because as a man, I don't have anything to really latch onto with this kind of story. But I also really want to see these stories told. And I was really worried and anxious to watch it because I was like, what am I going to see? How am I going to feel? And it has all those elements, but it definitely takes you on a way through the ride in a way that's not too confronting a graphic that's going to make you like freak out, which I really appreciated.
I think that's something that is exciting to see in writing. When you see more people writing from their own lived experience, you get a very different way that stories that touch on sexual assault, for example, or that touch on discrimination are told. It's so different because the point of telling that story is really it is really different than when somebody's like, oh, you know what we're going to need in here? So we need a plot point for this character to do some growing. So we're going to have violence or some sort of like hardship that they have to live through. When you get a story written by a creator like Michaela Cole, that's not what you're getting, because it's about the real world lived experience of what she's writing about. It's very different.
And when you see it written by someone else who's never been through that kind of stuff, it just feels perverse and grotesque, and you can tell it's not written authentically, and that just freaks me out. But yeah, the show is like almost perfect, so please, please go watch it.
Remind us of the name again, Sam.
It's called I May Destroy You, which is just a beautiful title as well. I think it's streaming on Neon. I don't remember.
Yes, sorry. It is.
Yeah.
I have it on my watch list.
Oh my god, amazing.
To go for the weekend.
the new Neon, which combined with Lightbox. Check it out.
Yeah. Flashy. All right. Sam, it's a pleasure as always. It's nice to have you in on a Friday. This sounds like a brilliant piece of TV.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I'm back next week with a new show that's streaming on TVNZ On Demand called Love Life, starring Anna Kendrick. So catch me then.
All right. See you then.
Viewmaster. Only on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.